Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day where we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, that you are not dead. You are alive and you reign on high. You have conquered death so that all who trust in you might have everlasting life. And so we thank you, Jesus, for your power and your glory. And we want to celebrate with you and give you all the honor and the praise. And I pray as I speak, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's always a pleasure to preach on Easter Sunday, because Easter Sunday is about celebrating Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's about hope. It's about new life. It's about a new start. It's about a fresh start. It's about the promise of eternal life with God for all who believe. It's about the supernatural. It's about the powerful. It's about the miraculous. I think the resurrection is unique, a unique part of Christianity, because as Christians, our belief is not built upon the teaching of a man who is now dead, whose grave you could go and visit. No, our belief is built on a historical event, built on the testimony of Jesus' disciples who said to the world, "I saw Jesus risen from the dead. I touched him. I spoke to him. I listened to him. I ate with him. And I am prepared to die for that testimony and that declaration." It wasn't a good decision to be a Christian in the early days. There was much persecution, and yet the apostle said, "We will die for this belief that we saw and touched and spoke with and ate with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ." So it's a wonderful day of joy and hope. But I want to suggest to you this morning that Easter Sunday is also about fear. That's an odd one, isn't it? I wonder whether you've ever heard an Easter Sunday sermon all about fear. But when I read to you Matthew chapter 28, I hope you'll see that I haven't invented this idea, but this is a biblical idea. That Easter Sunday is about fear. Jesus' resurrection is about fear. You'll see that in a second. But before I read from the Bible, let me ask you a question. What are you scared of?
Dentist.
The dentist. Yeah, me too. How does fear stop you from being yourself? How does fear rob you of joy in life? How would your life be different if God himself appeared to you and said, "Do not be afraid, I've got you. Trust in me, and eternal life is yours"? Because that's what I think happens in the Easter story, is the resurrected King Jesus, God himself, appears to mere mortals and says, "Do not be afraid." Well, we're going to pick up the story in Matthew 27. We're going to read Matthew 27, verses 55 to 61. And this is the moment on Good Friday when Jesus has just died upon the cross. So Matthew 27, 55 to 61, and the words will appear on the screen behind me. "There were also many women there at the cross, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb." Let's just pause there just for a moment. The first thing you'll notice about those verses, the story that I've just read to you, is that it's focused on the women. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome the mother of James and John. Where are the men? Where are the men in that verse at the cross? Well, the answer is that with the exception of one of Jesus' disciples, John, All the men have fled and run away. Judas betrayed Jesus, kissed him and handed him over to the Romans to be arrested. Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times when a little girl was accusing him. And all the others desert him and run away. Too scared that they also would be arrested and killed. So fear isn't mentioned explicitly in that little bit that I just read to you, but it's definitely in the background. There's this, what's going on here? All the men are just too scared, are too fearful, they've run away, but the women are bold enough to stay and care enough to stay. In fact, they're described as people who have ministered to and served Jesus all the way through his life, all the way through his ministry. So these women are amazing women. They're bold and they're brave and they're women who have served Jesus. As Jesus has gone around teaching the truth and done amazing miracles, these women have been by his side, helping him, serving him, being alongside him. They do not leave Jesus, but they love him to the end. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of Joseph and James, even watch as Jesus' body is taken down from the cross and buried by Joseph of Arimathea. And the stone is rolled across the entrance to the tomb. And in verse 61, just enter into this part of the story for me. In verse 61, they sit opposite the tomb. Late Friday night, and all hope is lost. Jesus is dead. He's in the tomb, and they sit outside of it. Imagine you're one of the Marys in this moment, sitting opposite Jesus' tomb. This man, Jesus, whom you believe to be a saviour, is dead. You saw him do mighty miracles. You saw in him such kindness. You listened to the most wonderful teaching from this person, Jesus. You believed that he was Christ. You believed that he was the Messiah. You believed that he was the King of Israel who would reign forever. And now he's dead. Gone. Imagine that feeling of hopelessness, brokenness, and fear. A real fear of uncertainty. What now? What's going to happen now? Are we just going to keep being ruled by these Romans who have invaded our city? There's great uncertainty. When Jesus was alive, they knew what to do. It was to minister to Jesus, to be with him, to be part of all he was doing. But now he is in the tomb. I know in my own life, that fear of uncertainty can be absolutely crippling. And I imagine in this moment, as these ladies sat outside the tomb, there was this great fear of uncertainty. I'm confident, actually, that every single person in this room knows something of the fear of the unknown, the fear of the uncertain. And you'll know how that fear can stop you from doing things and hold you back and can have a negative impact on your life. Wouldn't it be really, really good news if there was someone who could take that fear away? What if there was someone who could offer security and a safe place through all of life's circumstances, who could take away that fear of uncertainty and bless you with boldness and with confidence? That would be good news, right? Well, I believe that this morning God wants to change lives and to give us a joyous fearlessness in life through Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. So let's read what happens next in the story, and I'm going to read from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. And here you'll see that the Bible talks about fear, it's not just Duncan. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath is a Saturday for the Jews, remember. So after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, so on a Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see him. See me. Now, perhaps you can see as I read that, that fear is clearly a major theme of the Easter Sunday story, as Matthew, the disciple who saw the resurrected Lord Jesus, tells it. It's the dawn after the Sabbath, it's the Sunday morning, and two Marys go to the tomb. But what they find when they go to the tomb is truly spectacular. Something genuinely frightening has happened at this tomb. There's been an earthquake, and an angel of the Lord has descended, and his appearance is like lightning, white clothing, and he has rolled away the stone. Imagine that happens right now. An angel descends with white clothing, blazing light. There's an earthquake in the room. How scared would you be in that moment? That would be terrifying. What is going on? Who is this one who has descended? Why is he so bright? Why is there an earthquake? You know, Christians, when we read the Bible, when we hear of angels, we can become all too familiar with that idea. Oh yeah, another angel. I know the story is about angels. But this is a terrifying moment when this angel descends. In fact, the guards, Roman soldiers who are battle-hardy and ready for war, are absolutely terrified. They're struck with terror and they tremble and they fall to the ground. I'm kind of unsure whether they just faint, and that's why they look like they're dead, or whether they just throw themselves to the ground with fear. It could be either one of those, but fear overwhelms them, and they lie prostrate, too scared to move. They become like dead men. And two Marys arrive at this scene. And once again, the men are terrified, and the women are able to stay on their feet. The guards are like dead men, and there's an angel sat on a stone. And the first words that the angel says to these two women is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And there's a reason not to be afraid. And the reason they ought not to be afraid is this. Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus. Do you know, the angel doesn't say anything to the guards. The angel doesn't say to the guards, hey, don't be afraid. I know you're seeking Jesus. Because they're not seeking Jesus. They're there to guard the tomb. They should be frightened because they haven't come to the tomb seeking Jesus as Lord and King. They've come to guard his body. And so they ought to be terrified and like dead men. But to these women who love Jesus, the angel says, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. Something of a promise, I think, in the angel's words, that those who truly seek Jesus can find a place of not being afraid in his presence. And so in a sense, I'm offering you a decision, a choice to make. You can either be like the guards, terrified, or you can be like the women who receive this invitation, this promise, do not be afraid. Why do they not have to be afraid? Because Jesus was crucified, but he has risen from the dead. There is one who is more powerful than death. There is a resurrected king, and for all who seek him, there is the promise of everlasting life. Well, the two Marys run off to go and find the disciples. But they're still fearful, aren't they? In verse 8, it says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I think in this story so far, we've encountered four different types of fear. We've got the disciples who have feared and fled from their lives. They've fled away because they're terrified for their lives. So that's the first type of fear. Then we've got the fear of the uncertainty of the women sitting outside the tomb, not knowing what's going to happen on Good Friday. Uncertainty and a fear mixed with sorrow and disappointment. Then we've got the fear of the terror of the guards who have become like dead men as they've seen this angel descend. And here we have a new type of fear, a fear of wonder, a fear mixed with great joy. Here's what the women might be saying to one another. Wow, this is scary. There is a one so powerful and so mighty and so good and so glorious that he has conquered death himself. There's a fear in my heart that this is true, that Jesus would be so glorious and so mighty. There's a wonder, there's a fear, and yet that fear is mixed with joy. I know this Jesus, these women might be saying to one another. I know that he cares for me. I know that he's changed my life. I know that he's shared with me the truth. I've seen how kind and loving he is. I thought he was dead, but now he is alive. So do you see there's this fear, something terrifying and glorious has happened. And also this joy. He's alive. Please let this be true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead really does leave us with a choice between these fears. We can flee away like the disciples. I'm too scared. I don't want Christianity to be true. It might mean making sacrifices. It might mean changes in my life. So you can run away from Christianity. You can run away from the resurrected King Jesus. Or we can live in the fear of uncertainty. Not sure what will happen, not sure whether Christianity is true or not. And there's a fear in that place, not knowing what will happen. Or we can choose the fear of terror. If Christianity is true, I'm in big trouble and I'm going to fall like dead when I come into his presence. Or we can choose the fear of wonder. Wow, Jesus, so glorious, rose from the dead. I believe in him. And that is a fear mixed with joy and love and hope. Well, in verse 9 of Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, meet with Jesus. Filled with fear and with great joy, they see Jesus and they fall on their faces and they take his feet and they worship him. This is our God who has risen from the dead. He died in our place on the cross that we might be forgiven our sins. But now he has risen from the dead, conquering death. We're filled with wonder and worship and with awe. All we can do is throw ourselves on the floor and give him the worship that he is worthy of. And what does Jesus say to them? Do not be afraid. Imagine right now, you are in the presence of God. Awesome majesty and power. Blazing perfection. You know, the angel would not have compared, the angel will not compare to that moment when we will see God face to face. But Mary, these two Marys are face to face with God in human flesh, in the person of Christ. They see their death-defying King. To meet God is terrifying. Unless, of course, God has shown himself to not just be powerful and glorious and majestic, but also loving and merciful and welcoming. And that's who Jesus is. He is the death-conquering King, to whom all power and authority belong. He's also the one who says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He's also the one who says, come to me and receive forgiveness for your sins. I died for you. I do not treat you as your sins deserve, but I treat you as forgiven brothers and sisters. Come to me, says Jesus Christ. He's terrifyingly powerful, but also wonderfully loving. And these women know it. They've seen him feed the hungry. They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him associate with the outsiders of society. And now they see him as the resurrected King who has defeated death. In the place of following Jesus, in the place of believing that he is the King who conquered death, in the place of worshipping Jesus and falling down at his feet, there's an invitation to fearlessness from the very mouth of Jesus himself. Do not be afraid. Let the resurrection give you bravery. Let hope and joy and love and faith in me drive out all fear from your hearts and minds. Let my power combined with my mercy, says Jesus, drive away all fear of uncertainty. I've got you. You can trust me even into eternity through all the days of your life. Jesus says, I will be with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I will walk with you. So do not fear the uncertain. I'm going to call you to do amazing things, Jesus says, that might seem scary, but I will go with you because I am the resurrected King. Let faith in me, says Jesus this morning, replace fear. And you know, this is my story. This is what I believe God has done for me. I was a shy, scared, worried little boy when I was young. I hated public speaking, and now I have to do it every week. I struggled to sleep when I was young. I would go to sleep just worrying about the things that had happened during the day, and my mum would tell me all the different old wives' tales. I used to have like lavender in my room and things like that to make no difference. I'm introverted, and I don't like talking to strangers very much. Well, that's who I was in one sense. But I believe that Jesus has taken away fear in my life. And I know there are many people in this room who would talk about the boldness that Christ has given them. I stand every week before a growing crowd to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we approached strangers on Fareham High Street to invite them to church. You know, introverted Duncan hates that, but Christ gave him confidence. I'm really good at sleeping. I'm not boasting, but I'm really good. My wife's slightly better, but I am a good sleeper now. In 2018, we moved to a new town, Fareham, in order to plant this church. That was a difficult decision. I left my family, I left a church where I was comfortable, I left behind friends and moved to a place where I knew no one in order to start a brand new church with an amazing team, but a team of 9 adults and 5 children. That is a stupid thing to do, and if you're scared and you don't trust God, you don't do things like that. But Jesus Christ has driven out fear in my life, so I know that belief in the resurrection of Jesus can take away fear from our lives. Last year, we had our very first funeral as a church. A wonderful Christian lady called Lindsay, who died of cancer younger than she ought to have done. But you know, every time I met with her, she knew she was dying. She knew it was coming. Every time I met with her, even when she was in great pain, she expressed wonder and joy that she was going to be with her resurrected King Jesus. She wasn't scared of death at all, to be honest. She wasn't, because she trusted Jesus with her life. She approached death in this life with the wonder and awe and joy of these ladies who worship the Lord Jesus. So you might say, oh, Duncan, that's all well and good. You can stand in front of people and speak now. But I've seen the power of the resurrection, even at a place like that in someone's life. It was inspiring. And it was all because of Jesus. And she loved her and she loved him and believed in him. It was the power and hope and transformation of Jesus' resurrection that enabled Lindsay to die in that way, with a boldness and a fearlessness, believing in eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus can change your life and take away fear. I want to show you one final thing in this story, which is in verse 10. Jesus says to the Marys, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And that's what happens. The disciples go to Galilee, and they see resurrected King Jesus. Do you know what I find amazing about that verse? It's the word brothers. It's the word brothers in verse 10. Who are the brothers that Jesus is speaking about? Well, it's the disciples who deserted him on the way to the cross. It's the guys who said, I want nothing to do with this anymore. I'm running. It's Peter who said, I don't even know the man. How dare you accuse me? And Jesus, before he's even seen them after his resurrection, calls them his brothers. Jesus still loves them. He still cares for them. He appears to them and restores them. And those disciples changed the world. Even if you don't believe what I've read to you, even if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you cannot deny that these men who claim to have seen the resurrected Jesus Christ changed the world. What we're doing right now is a testimony to how a bunch of fishermen change the world. Peter, who was too scared to confess that he knew Jesus before a little girl, stands up before many people and preaches the good news of Jesus. He tells them, "You guys crucified Jesus." That's a bold sermon. And 3,000 people enter into the church. These disciples were changed from scared little mouses to bold, brave lions in the strength of Jesus, their resurrected King and Saviour. And they preach the gospel. They suffer for the gospel. And they die for the good news of Jesus Christ, saying, "We saw this man resurrected from the dead. He took away our fear. He changed our lives. He forgave our sin. Believe in him." "I'm prepared to die," they said, "for this, that you might believe in Jesus as the resurrected King." I believe God wants to change lives this morning, to transform people from that fear of uncertainty into wonder and faith in Jesus Christ with the fearlessness and boldness that can only come with trusting in one who has died, yet has also risen again and who reigns forever and ever. Let me lead you in a response. Let's just close your eyes just for a moment where you're sat. If you're not a Christian here today, or you're not sure whether you're a Christian, well done for being here. That was brave. If that's you, but you want a faith in the resurrected King Jesus, who takes away fear, I'm going to just lead you in a prayer. You don't have to say anything. You can just say amen in your heart and mind. But if that's you and you want to respond and say, "I've not been a Christian, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I want to believe in this resurrected King today," would you just raise your hand? No one's watching apart from me. Okay, great. Just going to lead you in a short prayer. And just, as I say, just say amen, which means "I agree" in your heart at the end of this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. I declare my faith in you and I worship you. Fill me with faith and give me the gift of eternal life, relationship with God forever, the hope and joy and love and fearlessness described in Matthew's gospel. Amen. If you are already a Christian, I want to ask you to respond as well. If you want to be bolder in your life, if you want to live with a fearlessness, if you want to live in the joy and wonder of these two Marys, if you want to step out of your comfort zone even further than you have done in the past, would you just raise your hand as well? Yeah, me too. Let's pray for that together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who conquered death, who reigns forever and ever, to whom all power and authority belong. Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for dying for us, that our sins might be taken away. Thank you for rising from the grave in glory. Increase our faith. Lord, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. Increase our faith that we might live boldly and fearlessly for you. Thank you that you, despite being gloriously and majestically and wonderfully powerful, don't push us away, but welcome us closer. I pray in that place of worship and love for you, we would find great boldness to live for you. Change hearts, change minds this morning, we pray, because you are worth living for. And so we want to give everything for you. I just pray for us as a church that we would go from one degree of fearlessness and boldness to another today. Come, Holy Spirit, and do that in this place and in our hearts, we pray. Because you defeated death in the resurrection. You are with us always, even to the end of the age. Who then or what then shall we fear? Lead us, we pray, in this fearlessness. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to give you one other response. Maybe you're in neither of those two categories, but you like what you've heard, but you're a bit unsure whether it's true or not. You're like, "It sounds good. It would be amazing if there was someone who rose from the grave and defeated death. I want to believe in that. I want to believe in everlasting life. But I've got doubts. And I want to explore that further. I want to keep asking the questions. And that's amazing. That's a good place to be. Well, if that's you, then Alpha is absolutely for you. You've got a card on your seat. And on Tuesday, the 16th of April, we're going to be running our launch night for Alpha. You get a free meal, you turn up, you meet some nice people, and we'll have some great discussion. If you come to the launch night, we'd love you to do the whole course. It's 6 weeks together. But, you know, if you come along the first night and you absolutely hate it and think it's the worst thing ever, then you don't need to come back for week two. It won't be. It'll be great. But please take away your Alpha card. But if you want to say this morning, yeah, actually, I am interested in that. When you fill in the Connect card, and even if you if we've got your details, could you fill in the Connect card for us? And just put an A, like you're giving yourself an A grade in a report, so you feel good about yourself. We just put an A in a circle on your card to say you're interested in Alpha, and then we'll make sure that you have all the details and you can ask any questions you'd like to. So that's kind of the third response. If you're unsure, you want to find out more about Christianity, you want to find out more about Jesus and whether he really did rise from the dead, would you come along to Alpha?